Hare Krishna. Today's Srimad Bhagavatam is a very famous verse. And devotees may know Jad Bharat speaking to Maharaj Varuhagana. And he says, Sadhugadartait tapasana jati na chejani vapanad griha divine chandasanai vajalagni shurya vinamat pada rajobhishekam. My dear King Rahugana, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy. Brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of household life, leaving home as a vanaprast, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Here, Jad Bharat, speaking this very wonderful verse, points out that following the Varnashram system, accepting austerities, studying Vedic literatures, even the performance of sadhana bhakti are all favorable to advancement in spiritual life, but they cannot bear fruit without the association of great devotees. And so he uses, both literally and figuratively, the phrase Bina Mahat Pada Rajo Abhishekam, without smearing the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees on one's body. Here, Srila Prabhupada himself translates the word Mahat as great devotee. There are different grades of devotees. Jad Bharat is acting in the capacity of guru, and he himself is saying that if you want a spiritual master, if you want a guru, then you should accept Mahat. You should accept someone who is a great devotee, which, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, later on in the 11th canto, there are three different grades of devotees: Kanishtha, Madhyam, Uttam, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. These devotees are determined by their level of faith and their level of knowledge. Usually when you talk about a Uttam Adhikari or Uttam Bhagavat, you talked about a Vaishnav who is fully realized in Krishna consciousness. Sarva Bhuteshu Yapashat Bhagavat Bhavamatmanaha. He sees Krishna everywhere. In other words, he sees Krishna. And he sees everything in relationship to Krishna, and he never deviates from the path of pure devotional service. This is described also in the following verses. Jad Bharat says, who is such a Mahat, who is such a great devotee? But back to Bina Mahat Pada Rajo Vishekam, smearing the dust of the lotus feet. Raja, not Raja. Raja means king. Raja means dust. So why is the dust of a lotus feet of such a great devotee so powerful? Because a Mahat, a great Vaishnav, he's not situated in the material world. He's transcendentally situated. He's in the spiritual world. He walks in the spiritual world. Therefore, he's walking in Goloka Vrindavan, and on his foot is the Chintamani dust of the spiritual world, which can grant all, fulfill all desires. Not only that, of course, by his own potency, because a Vaishnava is always absorbed fully in Krishna consciousness, everything that comes in contact with him also becomes Krishna consciousness personified. So is Krishna says in the Gita, Brahmarpanam Brahmavir Brahmano Brahmano Hutam, the dust of the lotus feet of a Krishna conscious Vaishnava also becomes Brahman. It becomes transcendental Brahman. It becomes Chintamani. So there's a tradition that we take the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees upon our heads. It's considered to be a great asset. The story of Kalidas in Chaitanya Charitamrita exemplifies how he attained Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy by taking the dust, the foodstuffs, the water that washes lotus feet of Vaishnavas. And by that, that was his sadhana. He became perfect. Traditionally, devotees also do that. They touch the feet. Why do we touch the feet? We're giving respect to the dust. You touch the feet, touch to your head, means you're taking the dust from the foot of the Vaishnava, placing it on your head. Children are also meant to do the same thing with their parents. It's a sign of respect. And then the symbolic aspect is that it also shows a subservience. It means that when you rub the dust of someone all over your body, it's an act of atma nivedanam. Fully self-surrender. I surrender myself fully to my spiritual master. I give myself fully to my spiritual master. It takes a qualified Vaishnava to accept a qualified guru. Just as there are Kanishtha Madhyamuttam gurus. Ideally, gurus should be Nityasiddha. Prabhupada states that the spiritual master is an eternal associate of Lord Krishna. Well, those type of spiritual masters are rare. That doesn't mean that every spiritual master, it means that that's the ideal spiritual master. Why? Because that spiritual master can give full realization because he's speaking from a fully realized platform. He's not talking theory, he's talking realization. When he says, be a servant of Krishna, because he has already realized his position as a servant of Krishna. Therefore, he's the influence of that sound vibration stirs the inclination in the hearts of disciples to similarly serve Krishna. A Madhyam Adhikari is someone who's well situated in Krishna consciousness, can chant the holy name without offense, and gives suitable advice to those who are on lower platform than him. A Kanishtha Adhikari Guru is precarious because he can fall down. And we already have plenty of examples of gurus falling down. So why is there such situation when there are Kanishtha Madhyamadhikari gurus? Because you need to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Prithiviti Acharyata Nagara Harigram. Prabhupada said he wanted many gurus. No doubt, he wanted many highly qualified gurus. But even as he writes in Nectar of Devotion, even one may accept and that's the onus is on the disciple. A disciple may accept a Kanishtha Adhikari. But then Prabhupada said, but he can't really guide him very well in spiritual life. He speaks from a theoretical position. And sometimes he doesn't even necessarily speak the right thing. If he's a Kanishtha. If he's a Madhyamadhikari, then he should be properly situated in Siddhanta. That's why a devotee should accept a spiritual master when he's also advanced to Krishna consciousness. When one is a Kanishtha, then the problem is that not a Chinese Subhakteshu. You don't know who's a devotee, who's a non-devotee, who's a Madhyam, who's an Uttam. Actually, it requires quite an advanced Madhyam Adhikari to recognize an Uttam Adhikari. But at least one should be able to know who not to accept as guru and see where there's actually higher levels of devotion, higher level of attachment to Krishna, freedom from material attachment. And if one can find such a mahat, one should seek out a mahat, a first-class devotee, and surrender to that person. And then, binat mahat padara jo bishekam. And then, yes, one should give oneself life and soul. How do we give ourselves life and soul to Krishna if we haven't given ourselves life and soul to his devotees? Ultimately, in the spiritual world, we are dasa, dasa, anudas. We are servants of the servants of the servants. We are not Krishna's servant directly. So one has to do that. And this is what Jad Bharat is here saying. And what is the gateway? What is the way in which we give ourselves to great personalities, to spiritual master? Primarily by hearing. How can we recognize a higher grade spiritual master? Primarily by what they speak and how they speak. How do great devotees speak? Well, I'll read this other verse, which is such a wonderful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is Prithu Maharaj speaking to Lord Vishnu, and he says, "My dear Lord, you are glorified by the select verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorification of your lotus feet is just like saffron particles when the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet. The forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouths of your pure devotee." So, Prithu Maharaj here is saying, yes, this is our main sadhana. Hear from the mouths of pure devotees. We don't need anything else. And who is a real pure devotee? Who is a first-class pure devotee? Well, here it's described that his words are mixed with the aroma of the saffron dust particles on Krishna's lotus feet. Those saffron dust particles, why are they saffron dust particles? Because they come from the gopis. That's why they're saffron. Anyway, and when that transcendental shabda Brahma, when that wonderful sound vibration enters into the heart of a person, then it will awaken them, provided that they're awake when they're hearing. So someone, therefore, the real quality, shushudho shadadanascha, of a disciple is that someone's very, very attentively hearing. I'm hearing very attentively. If someone can hear very attentively, then this hearing process is so powerful that it will awaken someone the desire to serve Krishna, and someone will also be able to recognize such great personalities by the effect that they have upon their hearts. Hare Krishna.